First, the state of Massachusetts has filed a civil complaint against Purdue Pharma. That's the drug company that makes the opioid painkiller OxyContin. Documents from the complaint shed light on how the company responded to growing evidence of addiction and overdoses. One strategy Purdue considered was moving into the market of addiction treatment. This case is one of many ongoing suits against opioid manufacturers, and it comes at a time when drug makers are under scrutiny for their marketing of addictive painkillers, which some public health experts say fueled a rise in overdose deaths from opioid drugs. David Armstrong is a senior reporter at ProPublica, specializing in healthcare investigations. He's been reporting on this. David, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Before we get into the latest on the case, give us a little background on the company Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family.
Well, sure. I mean, to most people until recently, Purdue Pharma was not a well-recognized name or brand. It's a family-owned, family-controlled, privately held business. And it was started, you know, basically in the 1950s by three brothers. And their early products were things like laxatives and antibacterial products, you know, not big sellers. And it wasn't until 1996 when they launched OxyContin that Purdue Pharma became a multi-billion dollar pharmaceutical concern. And that continued right up until recently, where we've seen a decline in OxyContin prescribing. But years and years of billion-dollar-plus sales of this drug, and that has gone on to make the family one of the wealthiest in the country.
And we have this lawsuit now taking place, I think, in Massachusetts. What is at the heart of that?
Well, the Massachusetts lawsuit is a little different than the lawsuits you've seen elsewhere. And, you know, just to give you a quick background on the legal landscape, there's hundreds and hundreds of lawsuits pending right now against Purdue Pharma. They've been filed by cities and counties and private concerns as well. So they do really face a very serious litigation threat. The Massachusetts lawsuit's unique both in its detail and also by the fact that they are individually going after Sackler family members. There's eight members of the family named in the complaint. And that's what's really different. The basic argument by Massachusetts is the money that's been realized by the Sackler families on an individual basis is ill-gotten. It was the result of falsely marketing and deceptively marketing OxyContin. And so that's what they're going after. They're going after not only the money that the company has, but the money that has been flowed directly to the family.
And in filings in this case, and this is a lot of what your and other reporting has covered, we're learning a lot about the level of involvement from the Sackler family in the strategies that Purdue Pharma used to market OxyContin. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, that's right. These were not passive owners. You know, they were not people who just sort of got a check in the mail every couple months and sort of enjoyed it and spent it. They were very involved, the records are showing, in the management of the company. You had members of the family who served in executive positions, but probably more importantly, they constituted the majority of the board of directors. And what the documents uncovered by Massachusetts have shown is that they had a very high level of direct involvement in things like, how do we market this drug? And, you know, down to the level of, what are the bonuses for salespeople going to be comprised of? Pushing for higher doses, describing how this drug works. All of these details the family was very involved with, according to these documents. Perhaps most involved is Richard Sackler, who was chairman of the board for many years and also served as president of the company. He was so involved that some of the executives of the company were appealing to higher-ups to limit his involvement because he would call them at night, weekends. He demanded material at all hours of the day, and it was becoming too much.
What kind of tactics did Purdue Pharma use to boost sales of OxyContin and higher doses of OxyContin?
Well, they did a number of things. They targeted the doctors who wrote the highest level of prescriptions for painkillers. They found through research, some of it was provided by McKinsey and Company, you know, the world famous consulting company was employed by Purdue for a number of years to help them what they called turbocharge OxyContin sales. So they found that the doctors who prescribed most often were the ones to target because you could get their levels up. Not only would they prescribe more than lower prescribers, but they would prescribe at higher doses. And that's important for Purdue because the higher dose pills were the most profitable. So that's what they did. They also, you know, there was a campaign to sort of downplay the addictive nature of OxyContin. You know, this is a new kind of painkiller. It was more potent than painkillers have seen before because it was supposed to last for 12 hours. So the active ingredient in it, which is oxycodone, was put in there at a much higher level than we had seen with other painkillers in the past. So there's a real effort to, you know, sort of limit concern about addiction and also to portray the people who became addicted to the drug as, in the words of Richard Sackler in an email, reckless criminals. And, you know, that's what a lot of people have found offensive in these emails and documents.
We're talking to David Armstrong from ProPublica, talking about his reporting on Purdue Pharma, a big court case going on with that company right now, about how they handled marketing of their premier product, OxyContin. David, some of the materials from these court filings had been redacted until very recently. Now more of them are out, and you report that Purdue Pharma was looking at a new product line, addiction treatment. Talk about that a little, please.
Yeah, this is pretty extraordinary if you think about it, because OxyContin and the marketing of it has been blamed by a lot of public health experts for feeding and kicking off the opioid crisis that we deal with now and that everyone is by this point in time, unfortunately, is very familiar with. And the sort of consequence of that was efforts to regulate prescribing of these really potent painkillers. The number of prescriptions written just skyrocketed after 1996 and only recently began to slow down. But because of increased awareness of the risk of this drug and increased regulation, OxyContin sales have slowed. So what did Purdue Pharma do? Well, they explored getting into sort of the other side of the curve here, and that's addiction treatment. In other words, offering medication, offering services to people who had, in some cases, become addicted to their other product. And so they did explore this in recently, a secret project called Project Tango. They didn't go ahead with it, at least not yet. But it was interesting how they explored this marketplace and also what they had to say about it.
What did they have to say about it?
Well, you know, as I mentioned earlier, they were very harsh in their assessment in earlier years when they were marketing OxyContin and trying to drive sales of that higher in terms of the people who became addicted to the drug. When they were looking at the addiction treatment market, it was a much softer tone, a much more understanding tone that they took when looking at the people who were suffering from substance use disorders related to opioids. So they said things like, this could happen to anyone, a 50-year-old woman with chronic lower back pain or an 18-year-old boy with a sports injury. And they said it could happen to the wealthy and to the very poor, and that this is an underserved, stigmatized population. That language is just so diametrically opposed to what they said earlier. And again, you know, for people who are in this industry, working in the front lines, treating people, this was really something that took them aback.
What has Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family had to say about accusations that they over-aggressively marketed OxyContin?
Well, they've largely denied them, outside of the fact that in 2007, Purdue Pharma and three executives, all not members of the Sackler family, admitted to misleading marketing of OxyContin, and the company itself paid a $600 million fine. Outside of that, you know, Purdue has said this has been a rush to vilify and that the Massachusetts prosecutors have selectively taken, you know, very misleading tidbits from the documents in an effort to, you know, portray the company as really something of a monster here. And you know, they think it's unfair, and they think this is a more complicated crisis that we're dealing with, and that to the extent the company played a role, well, it was one of many factors involved.
What is the current status of this court case in Massachusetts now?
So that's a good question. It's a pending case. Massachusetts has decided to go it a little bit differently than a lot of the other governmental agencies, most of which have a consolidated case in federal court in Ohio. Massachusetts is pushing forward with their own case in Massachusetts state court. But, you know, they've won a number of these early rulings, such as unredacting the complaint. I mean, this complaint is nearly 300 pages and was largely redacted. And now, except for one paragraph, it has been unredacted. So that was something Purdue fought and didn't want out there, and Massachusetts won on that score. So, you know, it's moving towards a trial. Purdue, as far as I know, has not faced a trial related to the marketing of OxyContin. So, you know, we'll see if that happens or if it's settled in some fashion or, you know, I guess ultimately could be dismissed as well.
And is this a case where it might not just be Purdue Pharma as a corporate entity, but individuals in the Sackler family itself that could be, economically liable?
Yeah, in fact, Massachusetts is looking to recoup from the family some of the money it realized in profits from OxyContin. You know, arguing that this money was ill-gotten, that it was based on illegal deceptive marketing, and that people in Massachusetts and the government itself are in line to recoup some of that money to, you know, pay for the cost of this crisis. And that's, again, that's what's sort of novel about this case. I mean, we'll see. I mean, they've also sued some of the board members, these independent board members, if you will, non-family members, who, according to Massachusetts, not once in hundreds of board votes ever went against the family. So we'll see. I mean, that is what's happening here, and it's the first time that I know of where a state has gone directly after the family members.
And as we wrap up, David, is the revealing of this information about how they marketed these drugs, is this raising wider red flags about drug marketing from pharmaceutical companies via doctors?
Well, I think it just adds to the concern that's already out there. I mean, the last 10, 15 years, we've come to learn a lot more about the way in which drug companies market to doctors. And, you know, there's been some efforts to more closely regulate that and limit the interactions and limit the kinds of things that, you know, drug companies can do financially related to doctors. But it does show you the precision in which doctors were targeted. And one of the things that's really interesting, I think, about the Purdue documents is, you know, they found that the more they visited doctors, the more they prescribed. There was a direct correlation. And McKinsey helped them with this analysis as well. And they wanted sales reps literally in doctors' offices, the same doctor, every week if they were a high prescriber. And each sales rep had a quota of more than 1,000 doctor visits a year. So this is essentially what they were doing every day, was going doctor to doctor to doctor.
David, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
David Armstrong is a senior reporter at ProPublica, specializing in healthcare investigations. He was with us to talk about a civil complaint in Massachusetts against the company Purdue Pharma and what we're finding out about how that company marketed the painkiller OxyContin.